Good morning, everybody. For those of you who don't know me, I'm one of the pastors here in H2O Church. My name is Aziz Nahas. And if you're new here this morning, we just want to especially welcome you here. We're so glad you could be with us. And this morning, we're going to be continuing to go through Psalm 23 as we explore this summer what it means to have the Lord God as our shepherd, which is a pretty mind-blowing concept when you think about it. And we're focusing this summer on resting in Him, in His love, in His sovereignty, in His care for us. And this morning, we're going to be meditating on verse 4 of Psalm 23. It says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this verse. Thank you for this psalm. Thank you for this wonderful reminder of your great love and care for us. Help us to really grasp that this morning. We so desperately need that reminder. Everything in life is threatening and scary, and the news just constantly presses in upon us and stresses us out. There's so many pressures and fears surrounding us, and we so dearly need to remember that you are our shepherd. That's the greatest truth of all. And so that we don't have to live in fear, but we can live in freedom because of your love, because of your power, because you are our shepherd. And help us this morning to glorify you in our hearts and our minds and trust you afresh. In Jesus' name, amen. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Here, the theme of the Lord as our shepherd takes a strange turn, doesn't it? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, what? I mean, up until now, it's been all rainbows and sunshine, right? Green pastures, still waters, restoring of the soul, right paths. You just imagine these happy sheep scampering along, bleeding with joy. Isn't God a good shepherd? Didn't we just see last week how he's always leading us down the right paths? Paths that lead to green pastures and still waters and restoration. Doesn't he have sovereign power over everything? If the Lord is our shepherd, why would we ever be walking through the valley of the shadow of death? Have you guys ever struggled with that question? If the Lord is our shepherd, if the Lord is my shepherd, why would I ever be walking through the valley of the shadow of death? I know I've struggled with that question. And the longer you live, the more you will be challenged by this question. Sicknesses that seem to go on forever. Friends leaving, dreams dying, ministries ending. My children born with a genetic disease and almost dying repeatedly over the course of 5 years as we fought to keep them alive with blood transfusions and medications and bone marrow transplants, living in and out of hospitals and Ronald McDonald House and hotels. My house, my car, my body breaking down more and more as they get older. Painful times in relationships. People speaking lies about me. People hurting those I love and care about. People inside and outside our churches tearing them apart. Times where me and my wife wondered where the money was going to come from. Times that our marriage was so painful, we didn't think it could go on any longer. The unceasing pain to this day of family members who have rejected Jesus Christ. And I could go on. And I think you could too, right? Can you guys relate? I know you can. Because you live in this world. If God is leading us, why would we end up in the valley of the shadow of death so often? Or frankly, even at all? Right? Well, we do see some reasons for that, thankfully, in the Bible. We're not just left to wonder. One reason we see in the Bible that we walk in the valley of the shadow of death so often is because of our sinful and foolish choices. frankly. Remember what we talked about last week? We are sheep. And because we're sheep, we're easily frightened. And when we're frightened, what do? Dumb things. Like leave our shepherd. I'm too scared right now. I don't trust him that he knows what's best. I got to figure out my own way. Sometimes we're just stubborn and we think we know what's best. You know, how long has he been a shepherd anyway? I'm a sheep. I know what's best for me. And so we run away from the shepherd, and that's when we get ourselves into trouble, right? We find ourselves in the valley of the shadow of death. Remember Isaiah 53, verse 6? All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. Why don't we learn from these experiences? Why don't I? Why don't we more quickly listen to our shepherd and trust him? Another reason that we find ourselves in the valley of the shadow of death is because of persecution from our enemies. The Bible tells us that God's path for his people leads directly through the valley of the shadow of death. There is no detour. There is no shortcut. There's no bypass around it. God's enemies will harass us and persecute us, just like they did David and Paul and Jesus and all God's people throughout history. Whenever they stood up to try to do what is good and right, what God wanted them to do. In Romans 8, you guys love Romans 8 like me? I think many of us do, right? It's so wonderful, talking about God's sovereignty and his power and his unceasing love. And then right in the middle of it, it says this: who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? But wait a minute, I didn't sign up for that, did I? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. Whoa, that's kind of a downer, isn't it? But then look at what it says next. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Sometimes our shepherd leads us to a place where we are slaughtered for his name's sake, where we experience tribulation and distress and persecution and famine and nakedness, danger and the sword. But that doesn't mean that he doesn't love us. Remember, you guys, this is the path that Jesus walked. Jesus' one and only beloved Son. Our shepherd isn't asking us to do something that he isn't prepared to do, in fact, that he hasn't done himself. He went before us and he goes with us. And he did this, we have to remember, to bring about salvation and resurrection and victory over death itself. And if we follow our Lord, that means we are going to be following him into the same thing, into persecution. But remember that this is the path that leads to salvation and resurrection for us and others. But it passes through the cross. And that's the path we're called to. And in America, it's easy to forget that. Frankly, we live pretty comfortable lives. And then we're surprised when we're persecuted for the name of Christ. We wonder if God still loves us, if he's even there. But Peter, one of Jesus' closest disciples, who had actually betrayed Jesus out of fear of persecution, classic sheep mode, he ended up preaching the gospel, even though it meant that he himself got crucified upside down. Peter told the early church this in 1 Peter 4. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed. Wow. Because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, What will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. You guys, let's not be surprised by persecution. This is actually the normal Christian life. We try to hide from it. We're scared of it. And in doing so, we miss out on so much joy and power and peace and purpose. God is using it to refine us and to bring about salvation for us and others through it. It's a reminder to us of the judgment that is coming for unbelievers if they do not repent and turn to Jesus. So instead of giving in to surprise and discouragement, let's do what it just said right here, right? Let us entrust ourselves to our faithful Creator in doing what is right, not giving up on what is good. There's also another reason we find ourselves in the valley of the shadow of death. I think it helps, and I know it helps me, and I think it will help you, to remember that actually our whole lives are spent in the valley of the shadow of death. Think about it. From the moment you're born, that little baby has a shadow cast on it, the shadow of death. We don't like to think about that. As you get older, it's inescapable. From the moment we're born, our mortal, fragile bodies become susceptible to the ravages of time, injury, sickness, disease, and eventually, death. Why are we so surprised by this? As if somehow God doesn't exist, or didn't notice this, or didn't understand, or even doesn't care. Until death is finally overthrown, and it will be, by the way, spoiler alert, super encouraging. But until then, there is no path in this world that God could take us on that would avoid us. Avoid that. Even Jesus, who was God's beloved Son, when he lived on this earth, also experienced the pain of living in the valley of the shadow of death. Why should we think that we will avoid that? Okay, so we're in the valley of the shadow of death because of our foolish and sinful choices, because of persecution from our enemies, and just because we're fragile mortals living in a dangerous world. But I still sometimes wonder, why does God let us enter this dark valley at all? Right? Why doesn't he prevent me from making stupid decisions or from their consequences? Why doesn't he make us immune to the attacks of our enemies? Why doesn't he make us immune to the dangers of this world and the ravages of time? Have you ever wondered that? Maybe you haven't, and now I've sent your whole mind into a tailspin. Sorry, but it was going to happen sooner or later, so might as well have been this morning. And now hopefully we'll get some good answers for that from the Bible, not just leave you there in despair. Does it mean that God doesn't love us or is weak? He's like up there going, oh, I love them. I wish I could do something about that. Or that he's absent. He just goes off for a vacation every once in a while and then comes back and checks up on things. No, no, no. Remember that God is always leading us to green pastures and waters of rest. And he's taking us by the right paths, the best paths. Think about that. That must mean that this path is part of the best path, right? If that includes leading us through the valley of the shadow of death, there must be a very good reason. And in the Bible, we see some of those reasons. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 6, Paul gives one of those reasons. He says this, if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. Sometimes we get so fixated on ourselves when we're going through the hardships, and we forget that our lives are interconnected, intertwined with all the people around us. Perhaps God wants us in the valley so that we can provide comfort and care for other travelers in that difficult valley. Notice how God saved us. He didn't just stay up in heaven. What did he do? He came down to the valley in the person of Jesus the Christ to walk with us along this path and ultimately to die, to rescue us from this path. Aren't we to do the same thing? There are fellow travelers around us, and life is hard, isn't it? But there is great comfort from walking through that hardship with others by our side who care for us. And we can be that for one another. We can be that for others. And not just comfort. Perhaps God wants us there in order to invite our fellow travelers who don't yet know our shepherd into the flock. We may have a wonderful shepherd, but most people in the world do not. What do they have? The Bible tells us they have thieves who are coming to steal and kill and destroy and just take advantage of them and use them. God doesn't just want us to lead us to green pastures. He wants us to invite others to join. But we can't do that if we're not in the valley of the shadow of death, where everybody else is, right? Paul gives another reason in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sense of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Sheep are stubborn, right? We don't easily turn our eyes to the shepherd, and sometimes he has to let us go into these hard places so that we will finally turn back to him and see our need for him, so that we will become humble and understand our limitations and grow in our trust in God. Why? So that we will rely upon God, who's more powerful than anyone else and who's the only one who is perfectly trustworthy. And this leads to the third reason the Bible gives in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. But we have this treasure in jars of clay. And this is, by the way, referring to our bodies. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. Perhaps God wants to demonstrate his power over darkness and death through our weak and fragile lives. You ever thought about that? Your weakness, your fragility, your brokenness can actually serve as a vehicle to display the power and glory of God? How encouraging that is, right? We so often tabulate our strengths and compare ourselves to others. Oh, I'm not as smart as him. I'm not as wealthy as her. I'm not as good looking as him. You know, but I have maybe one or two strengths. Maybe we should flip that on its head and sit there and tabulate your weaknesses. Boy, I tend to be late. And oh, sometimes I lose my temper. And oh man, I'm so scatterbrained. And oh, sometimes I can be so harsh. That doesn't sound like a great list, does it? But through that, when you turn that all over to God, he can display his power and his glory in a way that far surpasses what he could do through your strengths. Because what happens when you do things in your strengths? People tend to look at you and say, oh, look how great you are, or that girl is, or that guy is. But when they look at you doing something and saying something and they know you, that's way out of your comfort zone, way out of your abilities, what are they left to realize, to recognize? Wow, that surely wasn't Aziz. He's been on time 3 meetings in a row. Okay, that is not Aziz. Who are you and what did you do with Aziz? Now that's God. That's God working in me, transforming me, empowering me. The question is, do we want people to see how powerful we are? Or how powerful our Savior is? Do we want God glorified or us? And that happens most clearly when we are at our weakest and yet still filled with power and life and hope and joy. That's when it becomes clear that the surpassing power comes from God and not from us. For that to happen, we have to be living in the valley of the shadow of death. 2 Corinthians 4 also tells us this about God's purposes in verse 12 and 15. So death is at work in us, but life in you. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Perhaps God lets us enter the valley of the shadow of death because he wants us to bring to this dark world light and life for the good of others and for his glory. Jesus said that we are the light of the world. Sometimes we don't act like that, do we? But that's who we're meant to be. In Genesis 1, we're told that humans are created in the image of God. And usually we think that means that we're like God in some ways, which is true. But another very important aspect to that meaning is that we are his image bearers. We represent him in this world. We are intended to carry out his will, fulfill his purposes, represent his agenda in this world. And what is his agenda? You see it right from the beginning. The earth is formless and void. Darkness is surrounding the deep. And into that space, what does God do? He brings about light in the darkness. Order out of chaos. Life out of the lifeless. And that's what we are to do as well. But you can't do that unless you're in the valley of the shadow of death. Right? And finally, perhaps God leads us through this valley to prepare us for something much greater and more wonderful than we have ever experienced. I love this conclusion that Paul comes to in 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18. So we do not lose heart. We need that reminder, don't we? It's so easily to lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction. Wow, you ever thought of what you're going through as that? Light, momentary affliction. It's good to get that perspective. Is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. These things we're going through are transient, you guys. You've got to remember that, or it can feel overwhelming. One day, we who are joined to Jesus Christ will be made immortal, invulnerable, imperishable, immune to the ravages of time and decay, injury, sickness, and even death itself. God will put to death death. That's why Paul, at the end of 1 Corinthians 15, is like mocking death. Oh yeah, death, what do you got to say about that, huh? Where's your sting now? You know? Because it's certain, it's done. Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead. He has accomplished it. It is finished. And now we're just living that out. As Christians, this is our certain hope. This is our destiny, to be resurrected from the dead like Jesus with glorious new bodies. For us, the valley of the shadow of death is not foreshadowing. It's not our destiny. It's not our last stop. It's something we're passing through. But it's not just a place that we're merely passing through on our way to a much better place. Actually, it's also preparing us for that place, for a much greater glory that is to come. As we go through hardship and suffering and persecution and respond with repentance and faith in Jesus and with love, even for our enemies, guess what that does? Not only does it refine us and prepare us for eternity, it stores up glory for us, for all eternity. Glory that will more than make up for all that we're going through. It's far surpassing these light and momentary afflictions. So the Bible tells us that there are good reasons why God lets us enter the valley of the shadow of death. And not just that. Notice these little words. Again, we have to pay attention to them. He says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. David wasn't afraid, and he found comfort because he knew that God was his shepherd and was with him, even in the valley of the shadow of death, and he would take care of him using his rod and his staff. In David's time, and even today, shepherds carry a rod and a staff. The rod was a weapon that they used to defend the sheep from predators and thieves, and the staff was used to guide the sheep and to keep them away from danger and to rescue them from difficult situations. And David knew all about this because he had been a shepherd and had often defended his sheep. And he also knew about this because he knew what it was like to be a well-cared for and protected sheep. Throughout David's life, he'd experienced God's provision and leading and God's protection and rescue. You guys remember the story of David and Goliath? When David was just a youth, he saw Goliath, the Philistine, taunting the armies of Israel. And David, who was just a boy, shocked everyone by announcing that he would challenge Goliath to a fight. King Saul told David that he was too young to beat Goliath. But listen to how David responded in 1 Samuel 17. But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep sheep for his bear." "Your servant used to keep sheep for..." That's why they're written up there, so you can actually read it for yourselves. "And when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he rose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God." And David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." I don't think he really believed it. But David did. He knew what it was like to be a good shepherd defending his sheep. He also knew what it was like to be a helpless sheep, defended against lions and bears and Goliath and many other enemies by the greatest shepherd of them all. And these experiences strengthened David's faith that God would protect him and rescue him in the future, even in the scariest places of life. And that's exactly what God did if you read about his life. Psalm 23 is an expression of that faith and that praise from a lifetime of experience with God as a shepherd. And this truth is not just limited to Psalm 23. You see it throughout the Bible. Over and over again, God comforts and gives courage to his people with these words, "I am with you. I will protect you. I will provide for you. I am with you." Last night, Heather and I, or two nights ago, we went to see the Jazz Symphony, whatever, in the Columbus Zoo. It was a great concert, and we're listening. And then at one point, I see this little girl. She was probably three years old. She comes kind of toddling across in front of all the chairs, just walking, touching the chairs, looking at the people. It was very funny, just by herself. And what's my first thought? You know, where's her mom? Where's her dad? And you could tell other people wondering that too, because people would first look at her, and they'd smile, and they'd laugh. And they'd realize she was alone, and their heads would turn back, and they'd keep looking at her, and more people were looking at her. And she's toddling across, and I'm sitting there thinking, where is her mom? And all of a sudden, you see this woman, a little smile on her face, looking a little embarrassed, moving very quickly across the front of everyone. And I thought, no one had to tell me, that's her mom. Sure enough, she catches her, and they sit down. Why are we all thinking that? Because that's what a good parent does. They don't let their kids do wander off, but they don't just let them keep wandering off, especially at that age, right? They always know where they're at, and they're following them, and they find them, and they take care of them. And that's what God does with us, too. I will be with you. You don't have to be afraid. Remember Jesus' words to his disciples right before his crucifixion when they were scared about him leaving them. He encouraged them with this reminder of his rod and his staff. "Peace I leave with you," in John 14, 27, and John 16, 33. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world." Because God is our shepherd, no matter how we end up in the valley of the shadow of death, we can say with David, "I will fear no evil. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." When finding ourselves in bad situations because of our foolish and sinful decisions, we can find comfort in knowing that God is still with us He hasn't abandoned us, and he wants to rescue us. And he has sent Jesus to rescue us from ourselves if we will just return to him. When we're surrounded by our enemies, we don't have to be afraid. Though 10,000 surround me, the Lord is my shield. He's the shade in my right hand. We know that God's rod will protect us from anything that we are not meant to bear. And his staff will bring us safely through to his kingdom. Through Jesus, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us and died for us. We're more than conquerors over our enemies and anything they could throw at us. And when faced with sickness and aging and distress from living in this as mortal, fragile beings in this dangerous world, we can find comfort knowing that God is looking out for us and only allowing into our lives what is meant ultimately for our good. We can also find great comfort, right, in remembering that our destiny is not death, but glorious resurrection and eternal life. And this is so good to remember, right? I am a fearful man. I'm so afraid of so many things. I could spend an hour telling you all the things I'm afraid of, and probably more than that. But if I do that, I'm afraid we will go too long. Just recently, I told you about my trip to Bolivia and how afraid I was, right? What is it that allowed me to finally go and go with excitement and joy? What allows me in so many of these times to step out in faith and courage, even though I'm scared? It's remembering that God is my shepherd, that he is with me. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. And I have a decision to make, and this is the decision you each need to make in this life. Will you be a slave to fear, or will you live as a child of God? That's the decision you have to make every single day. Will you live as a slave to fear, or as a child of God? A God who loves you, who is with you, who is caring for you and providing for you and restoring you and leading you and guiding you and protecting you and rescuing you. I want you to think about what you're facing in your life right now that scares you. Think about what scares you about your future. Maybe you're very aware right now that you're in the valley of the shadow of death. Or maybe you see it coming ahead and you're terrified. I want you really to do this. Now think of God as your shepherd. He's walking. If you need to, close your eyes. That helps me sometimes visualize things. Think of God as your shepherd. He's walking ahead of you, leading the way. He's walking beside you, keeping you on the right path, ready to rescue you if you stumble. He's walking behind you, making sure you don't fall too far behind or get picked off by predators, or helping you walk when you get weary. How does that make you feel? Will you hold his hand and let him lead you into, through, and out of the valley of the shadow of death? And serve and trust him while you're in the middle of it. I want to encourage you to do that right now. If you haven't already done so, close your eyes. Picture the valley of the shadow of death that you are facing. Admit to Jesus any fear you are feeling. Tell him you trust him, and you will go where he wants you to go. Ask him to hold your hand and help you and lead you. Take his hand, feel his hand in yours, and follow. Lord Jesus, help us, lead us. We take your hand. We're scared, so often we let go, so often we run off and do our own thing because we think we know what's best, or we're just so scared. Help us to trust you afresh. Remember, you are a great shepherd who loves us and cares about us, and you can more than handle anything in this life. Help us not to panic. Help us to remember all the good things that you're trying to teach us and accomplish through us, and help us to experience even in this valley, and help us to keep our eyes on the future when you will bring us through it into glory forever. Help us to live not as slaves of fear, but as your beloved children. In Jesus' name, amen.